Well, good morning, everybody. You're in tune to the Voice of the Valley, KROX, in Crookston, Minnesota, on this Thursday, May 18th, and it is time for another edition of our Valley Talk program. We got Angie Peltier joining us over the phone today. Angie, can you hear me?
I can. Hi, Wyatt.
There we go. How are you doing?
I'm okay, but I guess I'm running I lost track of time this morning, and I didn't want to be in the car when your program started, and so decided to call in.
Hey, no,
sorry about the hassle.
Well, I just appreciate that you're still, you know, willing to call in at that point and let us know and give us a heads up so we're aware. So no worries at all. As long as we can have you on, we're good with that. So appreciate it. And, well, I guess I don't know what we're talking about today, though. So what do you want to get into on this kind of gloomy and raining Thursday? What do you got for us?
So I heard a rumor that you or somebody else from KROX was covering a game last night when that cold front went through.
Yeah, that's not a well. I suppose it was a rumor, but I can confirm that for you. That was me over in East Grand Forks yesterday, and what a turn of events! It was like a 20-degree temperature drop. Then it was rain. There were like 30-mile-per-hour wind gusts. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah. I was outside, must have been after that front came through, checking my insect trap. So that's one of the things I do during the summer. And so I run a blacklight trap to see what kind of moths we capture. And I actually had goosebumps. And so I kind of feel for the people and you that were out there when the pouring rain happened. And yeah, I just thought, how crazy.
Yeah, no, it really was, and I can relate to that, too. I had the goosebumps as well, and it did not feel good at the very least. But hopefully we don't have to have another temperature swing like that anytime soon, unexpected kind of like that. So, okay, with that all being said, what do you got for us today as we kind of start moving our way into the growing season? What can you tell us?
Sure. So I don't know about you, but maybe other folks in the audience feel the same way, but seeing spring wheat emerge, just seeing nice, even, seemingly even, at least from the highway, populations across fields just of nice green plants, does a lot to raise the spirits. So With that, you know, that means that small grains planting most likely done. I know a lot of people have finished up their sugar beet planting. I know potatoes go in early, but I'm tasked with covering corn and soybean. And so corn is often planted before soybean. And so I just wanted to talk today about what happens early season, right after you plant. What's happening with that seed once it gets into the soil, and what happens to get it up and out of that soil and on its way throughout the growing season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. So corn seed actually begins germination when that seed has taken up approximately 30% of its dry weight in moisture. So oftentimes people will plant into moisture, knowing that, you know, if it's very dry at that soil surface, you know, the plant's going to take, you're going to have to wait for a rain event in order to get enough soil moisture imbibed by the seed in order to actually begin germination. Folks will plant, it's not really recommended that folks go much deeper than 2 inches when planting, just because the chance of crusting and not having that seedling be able to pop, you know, push its way out of the soil, the chances of that increases the deeper you go.
Sure.
And so the radical or the first root is the first thing to break through that seed coat. So what's nice about that is that it allows that young seedling to get anchored into the soil. So it needs to kind of set up an anchored position there, and it helps them to begin to take up more water and then later on to obtain nutrients along with that water. So what typically is perfect conditions for emergence is warm, moist, well-aerated soil conditions. That tends to promote vigorous growth and development early season.
Mm-hmm.
So once that radicle does emerge, the first internode, so we have nodes and internodes. The nodes are areas of the plant where leaves typically come out or roots typically emerge from those nodes. And the first internode of the shoot will elongate towards the soil surface after that radicle has emerged. So it sets up shop in the soil, the radicle does, and then the shoot begins to grow towards that soil surface with that internode elongating.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens until the shoot reaches light. So if as long as the crop isn't planted too shallowly, the crown of the corn plant establishes about 3/4 of an inch from the soil surface, and the crown is where our growing point is. And so one of the really neat things about corn is that at the time of shoot emergence and the time of an additional, 5 to 6 leaves emerge or grow and develop, the growing point of the plant is typically about 3/4 of an inch below ground. So what that means is that it's protected from grazing animals, for example, deer.
Mm-hmm.
It's protected from frosts that don't get down and into that soil profile, or just fleeting frosts, just for a very short period of time. And that growing point will tend to stay about 3/4 of an inch below ground for 3 to 4 weeks after planting.
Mm.
So the rate, and this is probably most people know this intuitively, but the rate that the corn grows and develops will change throughout the growing season.
Sure.
And that's really based on, early on it's based on heat. Later on it's also based on heat. So in plants, regardless of what plant it is, it's growth and development, and the speed that all of the enzymes and chemical processes work within plants is really driven by heat. So it's not like us where we have, we're warm-blooded, and we tend to keep a pretty, as long as we have plenty of water and food going into the system and we don't have an illness,
mm-hmm.
we tend to keep right around the same temperature. But corn, its growth and development really is reliant upon the heat units that accumulate over time.
So you had said that it's reliant on it at the beginning and then later on. Is there ever a period where it's not in the middle there, or is it just a constant reliance on heat?
It's a constant reliance, and the thing is, it also has a lot to do, so, the amount of sun that mm-hmm. the corn plant is able to intercept. Think about a young plant. It has much less leaf area than an older plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so the amount of sunlight that it's able to intercept and then take that sunlight, combine it with carbon dioxide and water to produce the sugars that go in to provide, to allow the rest of the growth and development of the corn plant. All of that is also driven by just how many leaves there are there and if that leaf machinery is working correctly. And so that's one of the reasons why the growth and development tends to increase it tends to increase in speed, basically, as more leaves are produced. And it's also because we tend to have higher temperatures during that time.
Sure.
So eventually, you know, young plants increase in weight slowly, but as more and more leaves are produced, the rate of dry matter accumulation in the plant increases until we actually reach exponential growth phase. So where the crop, you can actually go out and measure. There's videos online where people go out with a Sharpie type marker and mark where the plant is one day, and mm-hmm. they can go out later on that same day or the following morning and mm-hmm. see how much more the plant has grown just in a very short period of time during that exponential growth phase.
Sure. So that's how you know you're in the exponential growth phase, essentially, when it's moving that rapidly.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh?
And so the rate of plant development is largely dependent upon temperature, but obviously other factors such as water and nutrients in the soil, both availability and ability to take up those nutrients in as dissolved in water, that can alter the relationship between plant growth and temperature. But the really cool thing about corn is researchers over the years have figured out just how many heat units. So between 50 degrees and 86 degrees, that's considered the optimal temperature range for corn growth and development. And so the accumulation of heat units between 50 and 86 can be added together. So each day you get another figure that adds on to it, and those are called growing degree days. And so we can actually predict, based on your crop's maturity, so how many days the seed companies have determined that particular crop will take to accumulate heat units between planting and then when that crop matures. And so we can actually predict based on what we've seen in past years over the last 30 years of weather and the heat units that have currently accumulated since planting and what the forecast is showing is likely to occur with weather going forward in the growing season. We can kind of predict how that will affect when that crop will mature. And for people that have more of an interest in figuring out that relationship between growing degree day units of heat accumulation and crop growth and development, there's a really neat tool online that if folks type into their favorite search engine, MRCC, so that stands for the Midwest Regional Climate Center,
mm-hmm.
and then type in GDD, that would be for growing degree days, it'll take you to a really neat tool that uses those current conditions, those 30 years of weather data that have accumulated, and that'll provide us some growing degree day predictions. It'll provide us information on the earliest killing frost in the fall, the latest in the spring, you know, when the crop is likely to reach the silking growth stage. So that growth stage is important for timing a fungicide application if needed and for understanding when the crop's yield potential might be at risk or might be, you know, pretty high due to very warm or moderate temperatures occurring during pollination and fertilization.
Yeah, no, I just went to the site and it looks like they got all sorts of great stuff on here. So that's definitely a pretty good resource.
It's a great resource. People can customize it too for our area of the state, for your crop's maturity and your planting date. So let's say you got planted pretty late. You can adjust that planting date and see how, you know, maybe planting into warmer soils than the typical planting time will affect when your crop will mature. So a couple of years now that have been pretty great to be able to use this tool. I used it last year after planting got so late to figure out when maturity was likely to take place.
Crazy. No, yeah, very good. We got a couple minutes left if yeah. You just want to let you know that.
Thanks, Wyatt. I also have used it, you know, in 2021 when we were so outside the norm as far as heat units were concerned. You know, we were, our crops, besides being moisture starved, I mean, heat units were really accumulating. And so I was using that at that time to figure out when the crops were also likely to mature. But yes, free to use, available to anybody. And do know that corn tends to emerge after the accumulation of about 125 growing degree days. And each new leaf that's put on takes between 80 and 85 growing degree days on average to emerge.
And what quantifies, again, as a growing degree day, typically?
Yes. So 86 degrees.
Okay.
So let's say we had a day when we got up to 86. It would be 86 minus 50.
Sure.
50 is the lowest. So it would be... We have this range, and that's the optimal range for, mm-hmm. for corn development. So that helps us. There's an entire explanation of growing degree days and how they work, how they've been determined over the years. And you know, folks are welcome to call any of the people that developed this tool. They all tend to work for public universities, and so are public servants. Call me if you want to have a discussion about this. But it's just something neat to look at and play around with. You know, after you're done planting, after you know your pre-emergence herbicides go on. I know this is a busy time, but who knows? We might get a little bit more rain that might delay things a little bit more, and it's something to basically pull out on a rainy day.
Absolutely. Well, one thing we know when it comes to weather is we have no idea what it's going to do, so you just have to wait and see, and it would not surprise me if we get more rain in the forecast, that's for sure. Angie, we're pretty much out of time. The good news is we have you on every third Thursday, so if we didn't get to anything you wanted to talk about today, we certainly can circle back to that next time, but anything in closing here before we let you go?
You know, I just did see we were out in a wheat field last fall, going to be a soybean field this spring here, and we're starting to see weed seedlings emerge. So common ragweed, for one, we're starting to see some of the grass species as well, dandelions, kochia, a lot of those early emerging weeds are starting to emerge, and so just weed management, it's just so important to keep on top of those and do know that they are starting to emerge now.
Yeah, no, good reminder for sure. Appreciate the time as always, Angie. Have a good rest of your day. We'll talk to you in 3 weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you, Wyatt.
All righty. That's Angie Peltier from the University of Minnesota Extension Regional Educator position talking to us here today.